that's going to come up on the screen for you called The Year of the Lord's Favor. Coming out of Isaiah 61, we're going to talk a little bit about this more as we go through this. But over the next 5 weeks, everybody say 5 weeks?
5 weeks.
That's how many Sundays we have in the month of January. And these are the kind of the topics we're going to be going through, is that when we're talking about believing and speaking into the year of 2023, we're going to be talking about a year of breakthrough. Can I get an amen? I'm going to tell you that we, Harvest Assembly, are posturing ourselves to be ready. That Harvest is looking forward and believing that something good is about to happen. Amen? So today, as we're talking about this, going into this series of the year of the Lord's favor, I want to open up with Isaiah 61. We're going to just read along with me as it's on the screen. But you guys, check out this. If you have your Bibles, you can open it up. And we also have notes on the app. If you don't have the Harvest app, make sure you get that and you can follow along with the notes. Starting in verse 1, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. This is about proclaiming Jesus in our new year. This is giving everything of who you are and who we are and what will be into the hands of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is about his anointing and his fulfillment in our lives. Guys, Isaiah 61 is about proclaiming it, believing for it, and seeing it fulfilled. Now listen to what I just said. That's what this chapter, this is what this little portion of this chapter is saying, is that we're proclaiming it, believing for it, and that it will be fulfilled. Why I believe this is so important for us today as we move forward into 2023 is that Isaiah 61 points us to the character and the fulfillment of Jesus himself. Well, why are you saying that, Pastor Matt? Well, let's look at what he had been brought before. He, Jesus, went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, which we just read. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today the scripture is what? In me," right? In your hearing, in me. I love how God's word speaks to us. The impact that it has and the revelation that it gives. And I am believing in 2023 that this will be a year of awakening. Amen. Guys, so today I want to talk to you a little bit about this being the year of awakening. I want to take you back to 1986. Who was not born in 1986? Wow. Yes. All right. Well, let me tell you what was going on in 1986. 1986, the number one song for the year was "That's What Friends Are For." Come on, guys. Dionne Warwick, Elton John, Gladys Knight, and Stevie Wonder. Aerosmith and Run DMC got together and redid Walk This Way. You could buy a Cabbage Patch Kid for $30. Does anybody still have a Cabbage Patch Kid? There we go, $30. Man, y'all know what I'm talking about. And the leading comedian actor at the time was Robin Williams. So, 1986. I'm in Santa Cruz, California, going to school, playing ball, pursuing my degree in church leadership. And campus, all of my buddies that were played ball with me, they had surfboards, and they would stack them up against the side of our dorm, and they were ranging from 6-footers up to 12-footers. There was all this stuff. And so one day, they just grabbed me. and said, we're going surfing. And I'm from Dallas, Fort Worth, you know, I've skateboarded my whole life, but I wanted to go try it out, but not in December. I mean, guys, in Santa Cruz, I know you guys don't think California doesn't get cold, but that current is the Alaskan current during that time. So it was freezing. You know, it's 8 o'clock at night. You can't see, you know, well, I mean, it's dark, you know, the whole thing, but they've got me in a wetsuit that goes up to my chin and all around my head. And guys, I get in the water, and I just literally thought my life was about to leave my body. And I'm laying on the board on my face with my hands up on my side. I didn't even want to touch the water. So guys, they get me going, they get me on the first wave. I don't know, I rode it for about 15 yards or so, and I fell into the water, and that was it. I didn't want any more part of it. And guys, in Santa Cruz, it's kind of like one of the meccas of surfing in the world, if you don't know that. They hold the Maverick tournaments there every year, 30 to 60 foot waves, and it's an amazing thing. But today, that night, it was like seven feet, and the waves are just doing this, they're just channeling right behind each other. And so I get back, and I'm telling them, I go, I don't want to do this. I can't do it. And they're like, no, you listen, turn around. Come on, man. You can get this. And so, guys, what happened was something changed. All of a sudden, I'm noticing everything. I can see the moon. I can see the moon on the water. I can tell where I'm going. My nasal passages are fully opened. I was focused. I am not falling back into this water. So the next wave comes 50 feet behind me. I start paddling. All of a sudden, my paddling, like the board's not doing this. I'm just paddling smooth, man. All of a sudden, I get up on one knee. I catch it, and I ride it all the way to the beach and jump off onto the sand. Never touch the water. But look, listen to this, you guys. All of a sudden, I noticed something. I'm not cold anymore. Is everybody with me? I felt invincible. There was no other place I wanted to be, that something had shifted. And that's what I'm praying for in 2023, is that something is going to shift in your life this year. You're not going to go into this where fear, listen, fear is going to be replaced with focus. Where you found yourself saying that I can't, I believe in that it's going to be replaced with I can. Feeling helpless will be replaced with hope. Some of us are operating, listen, some of us are in a great place. Some of us operating in anointing and all this. Well, this is what I say for you. I'm looking for a fresh outpouring onto your life. Anointing that is overflowing, and it affects others and the circumstances around you. That God will use you this year to expand his kingdom. But Pastor Matt, you know, I don't know what's going to happen next. I'm barely being able to hold together what's going on right now in my life, and I get that. I know exactly what that feels like. Sometimes it's one of those things, but I want more of God. I want to be with him. And I don't want it to be about me. I want to make it about him. And this is what I want to proclaim into the new year. Because as we go through these next 5 weeks, this is about saying it. It's speaking it out. It's so that something in the atmosphere is going to change. I want to speak this out, that our God, the same God that led David in the battle against Goliath and the Philistines, our God is leading us as a church, Harvest VA. He wants to lead us individually. He wants to lead us by the fire of the Holy Spirit. And I am convinced that as we walk out these next 12 months, no matter what happens, no matter what you and I might face, we have a God that is committed to go before us. Can I get an amen? He's going to help us. He's going to lead us. The best is yet to come. Great days are ahead because we have a God who cares about our days. He wants us to wake up and see what he is doing. He wants us to wake up and become aware of his plans that he has for our lives. And can I remind you of something about our Savior, Jesus Christ? That every person in this room is noticed by him. Every one of us. Every person he has put together with gifts, with purpose, and with a calling. He has equipped you, every one of us, to do exactly what he's calling us to do. That means that in 2023, he has already mapped out our journey. Isn't that an incredible thing to think about? That he has already mapped out your year. Is are we going to say yes to the things he wants us to say yes to? And are we going to say no to the things that he's wanting us to say no to? God has everything ready to go. His Holy Spirit will anoint you with the ability, the favor, and the boldness to do whatever he is calling you to do. So I want to give you three quick thoughts. And just to be an encouragement as we go into 2023 and as we believe for this year to be a year of awakening, the first thought is this: wake up every day hungry and thirsty for the things of God. We got a lot of military here, so I know that they've experienced severe thirst and hunger. I know we got a lot of athletes in here that have experienced thirst and hunger and all this, and I've talked about being thirsty before, but one of the hungriest times that I've ever been in my life was I had gone on a missions trip to El Salvador. We were there for about 3.5 weeks, and it was in the middle of the summer. It was boiling down there. We worked and we worked and we worked. And the first 7 days, you're like, yay, God, like, yes, you know, and you're working. And I've told you about some of the stuff we had to do. And pretty soon, like 7 days in, guys, we're working so hard. We're going to bed. We can barely keep our eyes open past 9:30. And I'm waking up at 4 a.m. starving. And we don't have a fridge that we can go to, right? Because we have to wait for somebody to make the food and all. And so I'm literally laying in my bed. My stomach, I'm dying of hunger. Well, I'm hungry, you know what I mean. And I'm getting upset that the sun is taking so long to come up. Literally, like I'm like, it's kind of like starting to drive me kind of crazy. Matthew 5:6, Jesus said this. Listen, if you're looking for a devotion to kind of work through this week as you go through this fast, go to Matthew 5 and read about the Beatitudes. Take some time to kind of just study through it and everything. But here he is on one portion of it. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And what does it say? For they will be filled. Remember, I'm believing that 2023 is going to be a year of fulfillment. We're just going to speak it, we're going to believe for it, and it's going to be fulfilled. You know, I've tried to explain to people what it's like to hunger and thirst for God. I have. I've had people try to explain it to me. And the best thing that I've ever come across is this right here. It's a question that you can ask yourself or ask somebody else if you talk about this ever. Is that, have you ever been homesick before? There's something about, I remember as a kid that, you know, I had friends that when we were younger and we started doing that, like stay over and hanging out and stuff. And I had a couple friends that they couldn't even make it through the night and they were already calling their mom to come and get them. You know what I mean? And then we'd go off to camp and we'd get homesick for that. And then after we got married, there was one time I was in Israel for like 3.5 weeks. And first week's great. We're doing work for the Lord in Israel and all this stuff. But basically week 2 and 3, I just want to be home with her. I get homesick. I want to see my kids. I want to see my dog. And guys, here's the thing is, in that order, okay? You see, here's the thing about homesick, being homesick, is that you finally get to go home and you're with family, you're with your mom and dad, you're with your, you know, your parents, you're with your brothers, you're with your sisters, you're all of a sudden there's these encounters that you get to have with each other again. It's guys, encounters with God, every time we have an encounter with Christ, it affects our theology. All of a sudden it's not just what we believe, you guys, now it's becoming a reality. Come on. When we encounter Jesus, we meet the person of God. When we experience Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God's love, all of a sudden, this is what's fueling our hunger for the things of Him. And as your pastor, I'm actually going to pray during the fast that all of us will hunger and thirst for more of the things of God. Everybody say more. The more of Him. Something in some way that we're different from 2022, that we're going to be different in 2023, amen? That we've got more of Him. Every day, waking up hungry for Him. Every day, waking up thirsty for Him. In John 6:35, it says, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And here's the thing is that not all encounters this year in 2023 are going to be this big dramatic thing. It's not going to happen. We couldn't handle that, honestly. But guys, check this out. Every encounter will draw you closer to Him. Every encounter will deepen your relationship with the Lord and will cause you to hunger and thirst for Him. And here's my second thought as we believe for the year of awakening is wake up to what is possible. Church. That we're waking up to what is possible in our God. Can I get an amen for this? That 2023 will be the year of the Lord's favor. That 2023 will be the year of what is possible. Because I believe, listen, if you're here today and you're online and you're listening and watching, that there's a reason that you're here, and I believe it's this right here, is that we all want to see God move in our lives. That we all want His best and His favor. But when it comes to pursuing God and His will, there will be a voice that will try to rise up in the back of your head or maybe try to get through a door or window of your heart that will try to remind you that you're not ready or what you're believing for is not possible. December of 22, I just kind of quickly want to forget this month because I was sick for 3.5 weeks of it. It was one of those things where I gained 10 pounds from, and I go to the Y that's over there at Great Bridge Y, and I get over there and I set my power drink down and I'm stretching, I'm getting ready and, you know, doing whatever. And all of a sudden I look around, guys, all of a sudden it's packed. Everybody's got on their Christmas shoes, Christmas shorts, you know, and shirts. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, dude, I can't even find, there's nowhere to even work out. I go up to the top and look, it's packed up there. Everybody's on the treadmills and the ellipticals. And I come back downstairs. And here's the thing is, this is what we know, is that in 4 weeks, this is not a lie. It's percent. I mean, this is percentage. This happens every year. In 4 weeks, the gym will not be as full, okay? In a few months, they say this right here, that 80% of the people who start to go work out end up stopping. Guys, it's not just about the gym. It's the 80% also that decide this is what I want to do with my life in 2023, give up in the next few months. That's the thing that comes up in our heads sometimes. But to the few who persevere, but to the few that persevere, who choose to do something about their health, about their home, about their marriage, and about their relationship with God, let me tell you this, it's never easy to start moving forward to what is possible. Some of us will say, well, my problems don't compare to what others go through. Or this is just not, it can't be that important to Jesus that He would need to deal with this. Let me say this to you, that God makes Himself available even in the small stuff. You might think it's small, you might think it's insignificant, but He's there. He cares. He doesn't just care about the controversial stuff. His Spirit, listen to this, dwells large in the small. Receive what I just said there, that His Holy Spirit looms large in the areas that we think are so small and insignificant. He wants to help us in that. He wants to help us. I was in sixth grade, and we would ride a bus home, school bus home. And there was this girl, and she was really pretty, but she was really short. And so the guys flirting with her, they thought she was pretty, but they would tease her. They would say little things about how small she was. And then girls can be a little nastier. You know what I mean? Listen, you know what I'm saying. In school, they would kind of go at her, and they would really give it to her. Well, this one day, we're coming home, and their neighborhood was before the one that we would go into, and so we're getting ready to drop her off, and one of the guys said something like, hey, is your mom going to pick you up in your baby carriage? I don't know what he said, but she walked up to the front of the bus, and she turns around, and she goes, she literally just says something, I'm going to make sure I say this right. She says, I might be small, and we all stopped. She goes, but dynamite comes in small packages. Guys, the entire bus went, oh! Have y'all seen those movies when somebody gets off the bus and everybody runs over to the window to look out? And so we get out, and she's walking, and I wave my hair back and forth, you know? And she's like a model on the runway, and she's just walking off. Guys, after that, I never heard one person tease her about her size. Is everybody hear what I'm saying? Just because others try to minimize what you are going through, when the enemy tries to minimize the feelings that are real, that you're experiencing, listen, you got to know, you might say, well, I might say to myself, oh, Matt, that's not God's purpose, or how would He even matter to Him? Listen, if we can't get past this, forget about the big things. We're not going to be able to handle the big things if we can't even get through the small things and allow God to help us with them. See, Jesus Himself reminds us that His Father, our Father, is the God of possibility. Matthew 19:26, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things is. So Matthew 19:26 is speaking of God's omnipotence, that his absolute power to what he pleases, he has it. His will, his plan, his calling, and his purpose is for you. We find it throughout Scripture. Think about the story of Abraham and Sarah where they doubted that God was going to be able to give them a son. In Genesis 18:14, it says, God said this. He says, is anything too hard for the Lord? When God displayed his absolute sovereignty to Job in his distress, and Job replied, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Jesus himself, when he prayed to the Father in the garden before he was crucified, he cried out, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. You see this phrase, with God, all things are possible. It proclaims that nothing compares to the power of God. Nothing compares to the power of God. I am believing that God will wake us all up to what is possible in his name. And here's my third and final thought. Wake up and see what God wants you to see. Wake up and see what he wants to show you. You know, hearing and listening, I've talked about this in messages. They're not the same thing. Hearing, God gave us two ears. We go to sleep, our alarm goes off. Our ears automatically are signaling our brain, hey, something's making noise, and we wake up. We don't have to try. You know, people can slam doors or they're down there messing around in the kitchen. We just wake up and it requires no effort. Now, listening, it is a skill. It requires your full attention. And in the spiritual, it requires your full attention and cooperation with the heart. Can everybody agree with me on that? And so, like, I've told you many times, Lori will be sending me to a store and she'll be naming off things and I go, you know, and she just goes, never mind, I'm going to text you. You know what I mean? And so with looking, though, and seeing, we have something very similar. Looking, it is a conscious effort to find something. Now, seeing, although some would argue that it's involuntary because you open your eyes and you immediately see, but seeing it, when we see it, it actually sends, it physically lets your brain know that you have, there is an object that has been found and you have identified it, okay? So this just happened not too long ago. Lori was making kind of like a picnic type style lunch or dinner, and it was hot dogs and baked beans and all this, whatever it was. And I immediately go to the fridge, you know, and I get there and I'm looking for two things, mustard and relish. And I'm looking, I find the relish, and now all of a sudden I'm freaking out because I don't see the mustard, and I go, babe, why would you start making hot dogs if we don't have any mustard? And I'm looking in the cabinets, there's no mustard. She goes, Matt, I just bought one. You're not looking, right? I go, babe, I'm looking. I see it, you know, and I pull it out, you know. And so, John, listen, I know in the scripture in John 20:29, it says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. I know that. But guys, everybody, this is something that I want everybody, I hope this rings true with everybody here, that we understand that everybody, the entire world, is constantly searching, looking, trying to find truth or something that gives their eternity significance, something that gives them hope. We all at one time were looking and we found Jesus because looking is a part of the process. But finding, seeing, and knowing Jesus changes everything. I think this happened just a week and a half ago. Lori had come down. I was working on the computer, and she was, you know, she goes, all right, I'm getting ready to leave. And I go, where are you going? She goes, well, me and some of the ladies are going to help Morgan, you know, find, you know, some wedding dresses. And I go, seriously? It takes six people to go help Morgan find a wedding dress? You know? but so she's talking and you know, and I'm seeing, I'm looking right at her and everything, and she goes, do you like what I'm wearing? Now, fellas, that's a trap. I don't care, no matter what you're wearing, you should just say, wow, that looks great. Well, I wasn't focused because I was working. And I'm upset she's going to help Morgan with dresses. I didn't know. You know, I'm joking. Anyway, and she goes, and so I look, and something on my face made her ask the next question. She said, "What is wrong with what I'm wearing?" Guys, that's another trap. And so I go, what do you mean? She goes, "You obviously don't like what I'm wearing." I'm not thinking. And I said, "Well, babe, they're baggy pants. They got some holes, and you're wearing boots. It looks like you're going farming." I'm sorry. I know. It can't. Did I say it? I did. It slipped. It was a major slip. It was a mess up. And so she goes, "I'm going upstairs to change." I said, "Babe, stop. I go, "No, obviously it's great. It must be in style." She goes, "It is in style." She goes, "In fact, everybody's going to probably like it." And I said, "Well, then leave it on. Don't listen to me. I don't know what's in style right now in this whole thing. Guys, I'm trying to back out. You know what I mean? I'm trying to. Anyway, so in Luke chapter 7, by the way, she did come back and inform me that everybody liked what she was wearing, okay? And I'm sure she told them everything that I said and made a big deal about it. Well, anyway, in Luke chapter 7, there is a story about a Pharisee named Simon that invites Jesus to come over and have some dinner with him. Now, what happens in the story, which I think really applies to what we're talking about, of waking up and seeing what God wants us to see, is this right here, is that all of a sudden they're sitting there, and it says there's a group of people. Like, there's a number of people inside this Pharisee's house with Jesus and his disciples. And all of a sudden, the door busts open, and they have a woman that crashes their dinner. And she's a sinful woman. In fact, in the scriptures, it says, in some translations, it says she was a notorious sinner. So that means that the city knew the type of sin that she was involved with. And it says that she falls at Jesus' feet from behind, and she's crying on his feet. She's wiping his feet down, cleaning it with his hair. She's kissing his feet, and she's pouring perfume over his feet and taking care of the master's legs and his feet. And all of a sudden, Simon goes, he says this right here. He says, "If this man," he's talking to Jesus, "if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She is a sinner." Now you have to almost kind of visualize what's going on here, is that here's this woman that busts through the door, and she's actually doing things that would probably make a lot of us feel uncomfortable. And everybody in the room was probably like, "Oh," and judging and looking and all this kind of stuff. And here's what Jesus says in Luke 7:44. It's going to come up on the screen for you. "Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon the Pharisee, 'Do you see?'" Everybody say, "See."
See.
"Do you see this woman?" It's like he's snapping his fingers in the room and going, hey, "Do you see this woman? Do you see what she's doing?" He's like saying, "You didn't do this for me. You didn't greet me at the door with a kiss. You didn't take care of my feet. You didn't love on me the way that she is in front of everybody." He's saying, "Do you see this? Because I want you to see it. I'm wanting you to see this because that's where I want your heart." You see, Simon only saw a sinful heart. Jesus was showing Simon a repentant heart. Spurgeon said it this way: "Her service to Jesus was personal. She did it all herself and all to him. She saw her sick of Christ himself. It was neither service to Peter, nor James, nor John, nor yet to the poor or sick of the city, but to the master himself. And when our love is in active exercise, our piety will be immediately toward Christ. We will sing to him. We will pray to him. We will teach for him. We will preach for him. And we will live to him." Isn't that good? That I want to see what God sees. That I want to see what Jesus wants to show me. That, like, when Lori wears something that I just think it's great. when what I'm seeing is not what God is trying to show me. Like it's like one of those things where I want it to be what God's showing me. I want it to be from him. I don't want it to be something that I'm making up from my flesh. I want God to be showing me this. In 2 Kings 6:17, Elisha prayed with his servant. He says, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Be available, church. I want to speak this into the atmosphere. I want something to shift for every person this year to be available. Everybody, listen to this one. Dream big. Keep searching. Stay hungry. Stay thirsty. Allow the Holy Spirit to open your eyes and let God be God in your life. Ephesians 5:14, some scriptures to encourage you. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. Judges 5:12, wake up, Deborah. Wake up and break out in song. Psalms 57:8, awake, O my soul, with the music of his splendor song. Arise, my soul, and sing his praises. My worship will awaken the dawn, greeting the daybreak with songs of praise. Wake up every day hungry. Wake up every day thirsty. Wake up and see what God wants you to see. In a second here, I've actually asked for the worship team not to come up because I want them to be able to participate in this, just like all of us, I'm hoping, will. If you took the time to come in here, I'm praying that in the next 5-10 minutes, that you won't leave without trying to participate in what I really believe God has for us today. And it's this right here. Is that in Isaiah 61, I want to read just the first two scriptures to you, and I want you to look at it again. That the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me. I think every person in this room should, that be one of the first things that you ask for him, is that he would anoint your life. In that anointing comes the favor, it comes the hope, it comes the ability. You find out who you are. That's what makes you hungry and thirsty. And so that he would fill you, that he would anoint you. And then it goes on that to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. We're going to talk about this a little bit later, about being able to proclaim. That's going to be one of the subjects. But there's something about this tool that God gave us that sometimes we use for so many bad reasons, that we can actually use it to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Isn't that good? And so I'm going to ask David, our sound tech, about to start this worship. And this is what I want to do. For the next 5-10 minutes, the altars are open, the stage is open, wherever you want to find. If you're not capable of walking, that's okay. Stay where you are. If you're not comfortable with coming up, stay where you are. But I'm begging you, do not walk out of here without having the time of this right here. And this is what I'm asking you to do, to pray for his favor. Ask him to wake up your heart and your mind. To pray for his anointing, his forgiveness. Pray to the Lord. Ask him, say, open my eyes, Lord, so that I can see what you want me to see. Open my ears. Give me more of you, God. Give me the thoughts and a language about what is possible. Now, notice that I said a language. We talk so much about how we can't or it's impossible, but that God would give us a new language of what is possible in him. Amen. So we're going to worship. Go ahead and start that up at your seat and take 5 to 10 minutes. Let's give this to the Lord.
I was rich. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time. Sin separated. The breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked riding out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus.
Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in your people here today. And Lord, as we just stay in a posture of worshiping you and praying to you, that God, that today would be a starting point for each and every one of us. It's just a starting point. It's not a race. We're not racing each other. We're not trying to climb over each other's backs. This is between us as individuals with you. You and I, you and them, dear God. That, Lord, that today would be a starting point of them becoming hungry for you, thirsty for you, wanting to see victory in their marriages, wanting to see victory in their children's lives, dear God. Maybe it's a job promotion, dear God. Maybe it's finally the chains of addiction are going to be broken in the name of Jesus. Dear Lord, maybe it's going to be those that are in our families that are away from you, God, that we're going to call their name out. We're going to put their name out into the atmosphere that they're going to come back to you, Jesus. Aunts, uncles, grandmas, grandpas, mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters and children that will come back to you, Lord Jesus, and begin to serve you and love you and worship you just as we are. We are going to proclaim this, dear Lord. We're going to keep speaking it, dear Jesus. We want to see harvest. The door is being busted down with people who need you, dear God. Lord, we're not here to steal people from other churches, dear God. We are here to see people come to know Jesus for the first time. We are here to see people who need Jesus and a rededication of their heart, dear God. And we are going to proclaim it, that it would be a starting point here today, January 1st, 2023. That you would rule and reign in our lives, dear God. God, I pray this, and everybody receive this. Anoint them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Some of you even now are already feeling that. Anoint them, Jesus. Anoint them. to do what they've got to do. Anoint them, dear Lord, to do what you're going to call them to do. Let it be your will. Let it be your plan. Let it be your purpose for their lives, God. And over these next 21 days as a church, Lord, those who are going to participate, Lord, those who are going to find something that they can faster, God, Lord, reveal them yourself to them. Become real. Become real to every person in this room. We're not doing it to please somebody. We don't come to church to, Lord, I just pray that we're all coming here because you're real. And we want to draw close to you. Let this be a year of awakening. Everybody say that with me. Let this be a year of awakening. Say it again. Let this be a year of awakening. One more time. Let this be a year of awakening. Let's just close our eyes. Let's just let the worship play behind us, and we're going to just receive, or just let his presence. Maybe some of us just need peace today. Let's just take a few minutes here. Let's all stand wherever you are. Guys, let's change the atmosphere in here a little bit, just for a little bit here together. Can we just put our hands together for the Lord and let's just praise him together? Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. Amen. I need four people just to shout out something that you're believing for this year. And we're gonna believe with you. Come on, keep going. A few more. Yeah. One more. Amen. Come on, you guys. Heavenly Father, we're going to believe this with our family, Lord. We're going to believe what some of us have in our hearts, God, that we're believing in 2023 are going to happen. And so, Lord, we're asking you right now that that process has already started. And we're believing this. This has been proclaimed. It's been put into the air. And, dear Lord, I'm just praying, dear God, you have heard this. And you have already directed angels. You've already directed your Holy Spirit. You've already directed the healing of your son, Jesus. And, God, you are going to be God in their lives. You're going to be God in our lives. You're going to be God in Harvest Assembly. You are going to be God in Chesapeake. Come on. You are going to be God in our families. We just give you all thanks and praise. And everybody said amen. Now, let's do this. Everybody just say, the top of your lungs, just say, Happy New Year. Come on. One more time. Happy New Year. Now, how about this? Thank you, Jesus. Come on. One more time. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, let's give him another hand of praise.